This conference is being recorded.
Hey gang, it's Maria Mountain from HockeyTrainingPro.com, and I have Kevin Neild on the line, and Kevin's the Director of Athletic Development at Endeavor Fitness in New Jersey. How are things going today, Kev?
Things are going really well, Maria. Thanks for having me.
No problem. What's New Jersey doing today?
I think preparing for snow. They said 6 to 18 inches again here. They're calling it a snowicane, which I've never heard of before.
Yeah, that's crazy. You guys have been getting nailed on that eastern seaboard, and you know, I live up in Canada, as you know, and everyone thinks we're so snowy, but I look out and we have, you know, kind of seems like we've had the same 6 inches of snow all winter, and you guys are getting like foot upon foot of snow. I'm kind of envious.
Yeah, little role reversal. We actually had an intern drive down from Quebec to start with us a couple weeks ago, and he said we were getting way more snow here than they were up north.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Hey, Kevin, do you want to start off just by telling us a little bit about Endeavor Fitness and what you do there and, you know, what sort of your setup is, that kind of thing?
Sure. Endeavor Fitness is a private training facility. We primarily work with hockey players. Last summer, we had probably around 50 kids that were playing top-level prep school here, various levels of junior A, either in the U.S. or in Canada, and then we had some D1 college kids and some various levels of pro kids here, too. Really unbelievable facility. I'm lucky to be here. We have, you know, a whole bunch of slide boards. We have Vertimax jumping platforms, which I don't know if people are familiar with those, but been having some fun doing some band-resisted slide board work, combining those two pieces of equipment. And we have a skating treadmill, too, which I had never been on before, so still learning the ropes with that a little bit and trying to figure out how to best apply it so players can improve their speed both out of the season and in season as well without, you know, going overboard with the stride repetitions and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and what do you think, you know, how do you think that the skating treadmill, you know, where do you think its strength is and where do you think its best application is?
You know, I was really skeptical about it at first. In general, I kind of roll my eyes at some of the things that strike me as more gimmicky.
Yeah.
But I've just heard so many good things from so many high-level players about their experience with them that I've opened up a little bit to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really finding that, you know, one of the parts of becoming a good skater is you need to be good on your edges, and that's not something that you can train really well on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But just straight-ahead leg drive, improving stride length, improving stride form, and just, you know, overall leg power, you can definitely do on it. So I think one of the big benefits is that you get to watch people stride stationary.
Yeah.
You know, so if there's too much upper body movement or, you know, too much rotation through the low back, you can watch that right in front of you as opposed to on the ice that, you know, you kind of have to track them with your eyes, which is a little more difficult.
Yeah, so, you know, similar to some of the speed work on the treadmills, it's not the way you're going to train all the time, but for some fine-tuning and just some feedback, it's a great tool, you know, another great tool to have.
Exactly, and most of the skating treadmill workouts that I have my guys on last somewhere between 8 to 12 minutes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's not conditioning stuff at all. It's you know, 8 to 10 second sprints, you know, really getting them to try to work on their technique at high speeds and then getting them off before they get too fatigued.
Yeah, well, that sounds really cool. And then another thing that is kind of exciting for you lately, you've just unleashed the HockeyTrainingExpert.com membership site, and that you created that for hockey players who are really looking to make some drastic improvements in their performance. And the best part, it looks like you're only charging $9.95 a month for that, which is an incredible deal. I know that you've asked me and I've contributed a couple of little articles on off-ice training for goalies and that type of thing, but can you maybe tell us a little more about the site and that and the great team of contributors that you put together, because I was just looking at it the other day and you got some great people on there.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for the kind words about the site. I'm really excited about it. you know, growing up, I never really had like a good training program to follow. And now that I'm training younger hockey players and seeing how much progress they make, it's really something that I want more people to have access to. And, you know, I say on the site, and I say this when people ask me about it, the site isn't a replacement for a coach. Ideally, you know, ideally everybody would work with a good strength and conditioning coach. But that's not really feasible for most people, for access reasons, for financial reasons, for time reasons, whatever it is. So the site kind of bridges that gap. It gives people, you know, well-designed training programs. It gives them access. I the last time I looked, I think I have 235 exercise videos on there. Everything from some of the foam rolling stuff to help break up knots in the muscles to the dynamic warm up and joint mobility stuff, and then, you know, all my lifting and conditioning stuff is on there as well. From there, it's like you had said, it's just I'm really trying to branch out and get more people involved to contribute articles and audio interviews and that sort of thing. And the site has really grown from a training resource to just a complete hockey resource. And that's the direction it's going to go in the future too, is just getting more people out there that really know their stuff about hockey player development, whether it's on the ice, off the ice, mental training, nutrition. I'm really trying to make it a one-stop shop for everybody.
Yeah, that looks awesome. And I love having, you know, an online resource like that where hockey players can go for proven hockey training techniques, because, you know, just similar to you, when I was a young athlete, well, when I was young, I mean, I'm so old, there wasn't even an internet when I was young, but, you know, you just would grab, you know, general fitness things and try to apply that to your sport. I was actually a skier growing up, but, you know, and now with the internet, there's so much information out there, and the thing I like about the site is that it is proven hockey training techniques by coaches who work with hockey players. I don't know about you, but in my hometown, there are, you know, quite a few hockey training programs that when I actually look at them, they run more like a CrossFit or an MMA-style training program with sort of an emphasis on that muscular endurance, which, I mean, I can entirely appreciate that an MMA fighter is preparing for their sport, which involves five-minute rounds. So they need that type of training. And, you know, some players or some individuals just like that kind of training, and maybe they want to use it as a cross-training day, you know, the way they might play basketball or some, you know, another sport. But, I mean, in terms of hockey training, do you find the same trend where you are, or is this unique to my area?
We see a little bit of that. I think some of the younger kids like it because it looks cool. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of idolize the MMA guys, and the CrossFit kind of has like a cult following at this point. But one of the things that I'm lucky about is a lot of the players that I work with and have seen will ask me about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't just follow it blindly or listen to what the other kids in their school are telling them. So I do my best to try to steer them in the right direction. So we don't see too much of that, but a little bit. And I still think that in the States, football strength and conditioning was really where strength and conditioning got started down here. And I think there's still some of that emphasis within other sports, including hockey.
Yeah, I could see that. Are there any other, like, hockey training sort of misconceptions that you see out there that kind of come up over and over again?
I think some of the prevailing ones, Maria, are just that people are kind of married to the distance running idea for building endurance for hockey players.
Yeah.
Which, you know, still kind of eludes me. I never really understood it as a player. I still don't understand it now. You know, why people would go for 20-minute constant pace runs to prepare for a sport that, you know, I think people will tell you the average shift is 30 to 60 seconds, depending on the level. But within that, you know, there's gliding, there's three-second bursts of speed, there's stoppages, you know. So it's really, truly a game of just bursts of speed and energy and then rest, you know. So I don't think that the half-speed jogging stuff really makes any sense.
One thing I like about that argument, though, is it's pretty easy to sell a hockey player that they don't need to go for jogs anymore. You know, they're more than happy. Oh, great. Now sometimes they don't like the alternative. so much if it's some interval training, but usually it's pretty easy to convince them not to go jogging.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the interval training stuff, even though it is hard, I think there's something that appeals to most hockey players when you say, all right, like, this will be hard, but you'll be done in 10 minutes or 12 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like, I only need you to work as hard as you can for the next 10 minutes, and then you're done.
Yeah, and you'll feel the way you do when you're on the ice. So I think they can see more directly, oh, yeah, this is as tired as I get during a game, you know, so I can see how that's really going to be helping me.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you probably do similar things. I mean, strength coaches are sort of funny. We think funny things, but I think about if I were stranded on a desert island and I could only take one piece of fitness equipment with me, I'll run through my head, what would it be? And it changes from day to day. But, you know, if you could only do one exercise with a hockey player, so, you know, this is the only exercise you can do that's going to make them, give them the most bang for their buck, what exercise would you pick?
It's kind of a hard question to ask or to answer, but I think that the dumbbell reverse lunge is really the biggest foundational exercise to all of our programs. I like the idea that they're holding the weight in their hands. I think it takes some stress off the back and off the shoulders, but it also improves grip strength. It improves core transfer since the main muscle is doing the movement or the lower body, you know, the legs and the hips.
Mm-hmm.
But because the weight's in the upper body, they have to transfer that force through their core, which I like a lot too. And, you know, single leg exercises, I'm a huge proponent of those. I think the transfer onto the ice is a lot better.
How do you think a single leg exercise transfers? So, you know, we're talking instead of doing a squat or a barbell squat or a dumbbell squat with two legs, either doing a lunge type movement or a single leg squatting movement. How do you feel that it applies better onto the ice?
Well, if you think about a hockey stride, let's say you're in a good stance, you're pushing with your right leg. The whole time you're pushing with your right leg, you really need to maintain stability using your left leg and hip. And then as soon as that stride's complete with that right leg, you're going to be only on that left leg. So again, you need to have that single leg stability throughout the entire stride pattern. When you do single leg exercises, it decreases your base of support because you're only on one leg. And it really trains and improves that single leg stability by strengthening the muscles on the outside of the hip that help with that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It makes your legs stronger, but also smarter. And, you know, that's one thing anybody can sort of build big, dumb muscles, but we want to build muscles that are smart and reactive.
Yeah, I agree completely. And there's some, when I was in grad school, I was reading a lot of neuroscience stuff, which, you know, can get pretty complex, but one of the concepts that we learned about a little bit was called the bilateral deficit, which basically just means that when you look at the amount of force that each leg can produce separately and you add those together, it's more than what the two legs can produce together.
Right.
So just another argument for single leg training is I think that you can make the legs stronger if you train them one at a time, opposed to doing things like squats and, you know, leg presses and other double leg exercises.
Yeah, so more like overall overload by doing it that way.
Yeah.
And when you say, if we go back to the reverse dumbbell lunge, do you start off by teaching them, I'm assuming you start off teaching them just a really nice split squat, and is that kind of how you progress through, or what progression do you follow?
It kind of depends on the athlete. In general, I think if people are completely new to lifting, you know, they don't have great stability, I think a split squat would be a good place to start with them before progressing to a dumbbell reverse lunge. I'm finding with a lot of my hockey players that they can just jump right in and do that. You know, we start out light. We use a body weight reverse lunge as part of the warm-up. So we're really able to coach that pattern well and teach that pattern unloaded. So when we add dumbbells, it makes it pretty easy for them to just hop right in and get after it.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, now say we've loosened the restraints a little bit, and you're allowed to add two more exercises. So they're allowed to do reverse dumbbell lunge and two other exercises that you pick. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot again, but
that's okay.
Can you think of another two that you might want to add in there?
Sure. Well, I think upper body strength is important for hockey players, especially as they get older. You know, and they battle more along the boards. It becomes a high contact game, and just in maintaining shoulder health. If I had to pick between a rowing exercise or a pushing exercise, I would probably pick a rowing exercise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've been doing a lot of standing one-arm cable rows, which is just, mm-hmm. you know, setting a cable up about chest height and sitting back almost in like a quarter squat position and just pulling with one arm. And I just like lower body stuff, I like single limb upper body movements as well.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, as the people listening know, during hockey, a lot of times you're doing one thing with one arm and a different thing with the other arm. So I like the idea of training the arms one at a time.
Yeah, and you get a nice, like, rotary core stabilization as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any other? What's your sort of favorite quote unquote core exercise for hockey players? Because I train some small groups of high school athletes, and they beat hockey and soccer, and you know, and they'll say, well, you know, we want to work on our core. And I think, wow, these kids are so, you know, mature, and they know the importance of the core. But then when I actually get it figured out, what they want to do is ab crunches because they want to build a six-pack, you know.
Yeah.
And they're sort of trying to trick me into thinking, well, Maria talks about core, so let's ask to train core, and really we want to do crunches. But what kind of core stabilization or core strength exercise do you really like doing with your hockey players?
Well, I'm going to cheat here. I'm going to give you a couple. I'm a
Great.
Really big fan of rotational med ball throws.
Mm-hmm.
Against a wall, and if you don't have a wall, you know, that's not really a possibility, or if you don't have medicine balls. So what we've been doing a lot at Endeavor is rotational cable movements. So we'll just throw a rope onto a cable pulley, and then I'll go at three different heights, either set it all the way to the bottom, about chest height, or all the way at the top, and just set up in a side standing position and basically use your outside arm, let your hips rotate in towards the cable, and then pull
mm-hmm.
with your outside arm and then press with your inside arm in like a full rotation pattern. And I know that's kind of hard to describe, but if you want, I can send you a video.
Almost like a modified standing chop or...
Exactly. I think the big difference is that I really cue hip rotation.
Yeah.
You know, where some of that some of the variations, people want a neutral hip position. They don't want the hips to move at all. I'm really coaching people to move starting from the hips and to transfer up through the upper body.
And starting from the hips, but kind of locking in through the torso and bringing the hips and shoulders around together?
Exactly. And I really like that. I think it, you know, hockey players get it with regards to shooting. I remember as a player, you know, you hear that your shot power comes from the legs and the hips, but some of that isn't taught as well as it should be, and I think this is one of those cases where an exercise off the ice can really help transfer the shot power on the ice.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, and it probably gives them the feeling, too, of generating that power from the legs through the hips, you know, whereas a medicine ball pass, sometimes it happens so quick that I'm not sure that they... Yeah, realize what exactly they're doing or what they're trying to engage.
Yeah, exactly. And then one last exercise that I've been having a lot of fun with some of our guys is a four-way stability ball front plank. So most people
mm-hmm.
are familiar with a front plank on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
What we've done is have people put their forearms on a stability ball or a physio ball, and then from that position we'll have them roll the ball forward, then roll it all the way back in, and then return to a neutral position, and then go to the left, to the right, and then back to neutral, then diagonal up left, diagonal down right, back to neutral, diagonal up right, diagonal down left, and then back to neutral.
Oh, that's a nice one. That's a nice one. We use that cross pattern, but the diagonal is a great one. I hadn't thought of that. I'm going to steal that from you, Kevin.
Go ahead.
That's a great one. Well, I just, okay, a couple other little things. One of the things in my hometown, I kind of became famous somehow for not advocating bike training for hockey players in the off season. And
okay.
I kind of started, I was just having a discussion with somebody, I can't remember who, it might have been a player agent, but I said, well, I don't really have hockey players ride the bike a lot in the off season. And then I would have other coaches who would just kind of call and ask me about it. Like, he must have gone and told other people, like, this girl doesn't have them ride bicycles. And so they would sort of phone and, like, want to argue about it for a while. And I mean, I'm not married to the idea, but it's just, you know, I just think if I'm developing energy system in hockey players, I'm going to use multi-directional drills because that's sort of what they need to do. You know, I think the bike sort of puts them in that hip flex position that they're in all the time anyways. They don't get any hip extension. There's no abduction. They're not weight bearing. You know, so, I mean, I know some great hockey fitness coaches. Coach Boyle uses them a lot, and I respect his reasons for it. What's your take on that? Do you guys use a stationary bike? Do you use a stationary bike with your players?
No, we actually haven't used a stationary bike with our players in season or out of season ever.
Good. I'm gonna when those coaches call me now, I'm gonna give them your number and have them.
I'll go right ahead. And I think our rationale is
yeah,
our rationale is the same as yours, Maria, in that you know, that hip flex kind of hunched over bike position isn't one that we need to reinforce at this point. I mean, people spend all season in that position, whether they're on the ice skating or on the bench sitting or in the classroom sitting or in the car sitting
yeah.
or at home in front of the computer sitting. So we try to get them out of that. And then the, like you said, the multi-directional stuff is key, and it's really a must. You know, hockey is still a ground-based activity. I don't know how much transfer there is from biking. And I know I've read, like you had said, other great hockey strength and conditioning coaches and researchers really advocate biking, but it doesn't make sense to me just from a, you know, driving force into the ground standpoint. Like you would skating, you don't have that in biking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a different pattern, isn't it?
Yeah. So in the off season, depending on how many days a week we see people, if I twice and then do some sort of shuttle run or, you know, interval sprint work on that other
yeah.
day.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, Kevin, I know you got to get back to work and get back in the gym. So on behalf of everyone at HockeyTrainingPro.com, just thanks so much for taking a couple minutes to chat today. It's always fun talking to you and exchanging ideas about training hockey players. I do want to suggest that everybody head over to HockeyTrainingExpert.com just to check out the site. It's a great resource, and the content is constantly being updated. So, you know, even if you pick up one or two ideas every month that can help, make you a better player, reduce your risk of injury, then it's definitely money well spent. Anything else you want to add there, Kevin, or maybe put a friendly wager on the gold medal game for the men's and women's hockey? Or
yeah, like we were talking about before, I'm really excited about the women's game tonight, and if things go the way that all of us hope they will, hopefully the men's U.S.-Canada game will happen in a couple of days. They'll get a rematch.
That would be beautiful. And if Canada won them both, wouldn't that just be the best?
You know, if you're going to put me on the spot, I think the U.S. women will squeak it out tonight. I really just think the way that Canada played yesterday, the men's team, if they keep that up, I don't think the U.S. can keep up. So I'll give.
Yeah, I think I'd be inclined to agree. I think the women might be in very tough tonight. And the men, like you said, that team that was on the ice last night was a new team. So, and they looked fantastic. So I think they might be unbeatable too. So we're going to have to agree on that one. And I will just say thanks again, Kevin, and I hope you have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, Maria. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.